The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds!
Woo-hoo!
There you have it. I'm seeing if I can check into the chat room here. I'm not sure if I can or not. Try it, see what happens. All right, today is August 4th. Wow, crazy days indeed. Sunday, August 4th, 2024. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson. My sister Linda is not here. And she's doing a lot of heavy lifting right now, and our prayers are with her. And we'll see you soon. I'm also in the studio here with the kid that rocks around the clock, faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download, 10th degree black belt in Ram Cyber, Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
There you go. So we've got a packed show as usual with a lot of things to cover. The fun never stops, I'll tell you what. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. I'm still trying to get into the chat room. I guess we should talk about our sponsors here. You'll have to excuse me. I have a little bit of a cold, I guess. Let's see. What do we got here? Okay, we want to say we're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agent. She's down there at 810 Main Street in Red Bluff, California. Her phone number is 530-527-5534. She's the best and will take care of all your insurance needs. Also, Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575. He's licensed and bonded. And also, we're brought to you by Crackmasters down there, Jeff Borst. I don't have all this information. Linda usually has that. But he's down there on South Market, and you can get a hold of him. He's really great about what he does. He's fixed more than one of my windows on my cars, and he backs his work. Shout out to Marty McGill, Clear Creek Microgreens, also mountaintopmedia.com. We downloaded another show this last week with the CEO of Shasta County, Dave Rickards. It turned out pretty good. I think you should go watch that. What else have we got? Have you got anything over there, Dave, announcements or anything?
Not as far as I go. A lot of what's just been happening and taking place this last couple of weeks has been obviously the fallout of the assassination attempt and actually the amount of information that they don't talk about now. I mean, it's amazing how quick that's gone out of the mainstream media. I guarantee if that was Biden or anybody else over there, it would have been nonstop 24/7 January 6 all over again.
Yeah, it's crazy days indeed. I did get in the chat room here. I haven't said anything yet, but and I got so much to cover here. It's ridiculous. I'm going to do a little bit more on Kamala Harris today for obvious reasons because, I mean, all of a sudden she's gone from, being the most liberal senator in the history and the most liberal vice president and border czar and all of this. And all of a sudden now she's middle of the road. And that's only took like 2 weeks.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, okay, so there is on predicted as of 3 days ago, Vice President Harris now beating former President Donald Trump on predicted election
betting. You buy that crap? Are you buying into that?
I mean, I might end up taking the opposite side of that bet.
That's just crap. And then also, for you guys that are on the Facebook, I got my account restricted today because it said that I was posting stuff that was, a problem with suicide, self-injury, and eating disorders. And so I posted meme mm-hmm. showing a guy sticking a fork into a plug with a fork on it that said socialism. And there was two guys standing there, and one guy said, well, anytime anybody else has tried this, they gotten hurt. Now, well, we're going to do it differently this time. And I'm like,
well, and of course,
eating disorder?
It's a cartoon. It's not depicting any violence. It's not depicting anything else. It's depicting the whole idea of you don't put a fork in an electrical socket.
You don't. Socialism sucks. It turns out the same every time. That's the point of the meme. And,
But you hurt my feelings.
So, really, you know, what it is censorship. If they, that's the problem with the left. They don't believe in free speech. They don't believe in constitutional rights. They'll say it as long as they keep their rights, but they don't believe that you have any rights or restrictions. Or you should be restricted on everything that you say that disagrees with them. And so we're seeing it more and more, and I think we're going to see it up to the election now, that Google, was restricting questioning about Trump and the attempted assassination. And so anything that starts to question the narrative, they're starting to limit the scope of what you can find on it through Google, through AI searches, Meta. So what they're doing is I can see an all-out push at this point of censorship across the board.
Well, even to the point to where they're saying that the attempt on his life was a fictional attempt from Meta and some of these other ones. And it's like, okay, so we're going to completely whitewash history. We're going to make it to where you can't know anything that took place. And that's just what it is. So,
and
like,
it's for our own good. You're right. You understand, huh?
They also labeled the picture of him holding his fist up afterwards as fake in AI.
So these guys are, it's ridiculous.
I'm going to predict a class action lawsuit down the line censorship.
I think that is probably coming because, but what they're trying to do is control the narrative to the election. All of it with, Kamala. Is that racist? I don't know how to pronounce her name because it could be pronounced like several different ways.
Well, is she Indian like what she originally said she was, or is she black? Because now she's black all of a sudden, but she previously was Indian. But is it just depending on what polls?
It's ridiculous, And I'm going to play this little clip here from ABC this week, and it kind of illustrates what we're talking about. This is Stephanopoulos talking to Byron Donalds, and. It really illustrates what the problem is that they want this to be a conversation about racism. They want, the fact that Trump said that, and all he was illustrating was that she changes her position from one day to the next, depending on what the position is, like we've been talking about since the start of the show. This week she's a moderate conservative, at least a moderate. Last week she was a complete communist. This week, she's black. Last week she was Indian. So she's a chameleon in the aspect that she changes whatever position, whatever audience she's in front of so that, she's looking to stay in power, and that's the point of the whole thing. But let's go ahead and play this little clip here. Are we ready to go in there? And this is, Stephanopoulos, I guess, and, Byron Donalds, and it's a little bit long, but let's listen and you'll hear what I'm talking about.
Why is former President Trump questioning the vice president's racial identity?
Well, first, George, in Chicago, he was responding to a question from, I believe, Rachel Scott. Like, this is really a phony controversy. I don't really care. Most people don't. But if we're going to be accurate, when Kamala Harris went into the United States Senate, it was AP that said she was the first Indian American United States Senator. It was actually played up a lot when she came into the Senate. Now she's running nationally. Obviously, the campaign has shifted. They're talking much more about her father's heritage and her black identity. It doesn't really matter. The president mentioned it. What he also talks about far more frequently is the fact that Kamala Harris is the person who created this massive inflation, which is destroying black families, white families, Hispanic families. It's her failure as borders are that has left our southern border wide open, more than 10 million illegal immigrants coming into our country, record fentanyl coming into our country, which has killed more Americans than at any other point in the history of our country with respect specifically to fentanyl, and the fact that she and Joe Biden have unleashed one of the worst foreign policies in the history of our country that has us on the verge of World War III. That is Kamala Harris's record. President Trump talks about that frequently, but yes, he did mention it in Chicago in response to a question from Rachel Scott.
And you just repeated the slur again. If it doesn't matter, why do you all keep questioning her identity? She's always identified as a black woman. She is biracial. She has a Jamaican father and Indian mother. She's always identified as both. Why are you questioning that?
Well, George, first of all, this is something that's actually a conversation throughout social media right now. There are a lot of people who are trying to figure this out. But again, that's a side issue, not the main issue. The main issue.
Sir, one second. You just did it. You just did it again.
Vice President of the United States.
Why do you why do you insist on questioning her racial identity?
You want me to talk?
I want you to answer my question.
George, now that you're done yelling at me, let me answer. He talked about it on the stage yesterday in Atlanta for, what, 2 minutes? He spent more than 35, 40 minutes going after her record, talking about how radical of a senator that she was. She was the most liberal senator in the United States, in the United States Senate. That is a fact. He talked about the job that she did as vice president of the United States, a job, I will add, which has been a failure for the American people. I know you guys like to glom on to this that he talks about in jest or in a serious manner for about a minute or so, but what you do not cover is the litany of failures of Kamala Harris. That's what not covering, George.
So questioning somebody's racial identity for a couple minutes is okay?
George, I'm going to tell you again, he brought it up. AP is the one that wrote the headline when she first came in to the United States Senate. Didn't talk about her being black. Talked about her being the first Indian American senator. AP brought that up. I mean, George, we could have this conversation for the entire segment, but none of this matters to the American people. What matters to the American people is, are we going to have the same policies of the Biden-Harris administration that has been destructive of the American people, or are we going to have the policies of the Trump administration, which put America first, had low inflation, prosperous Americans, no matter your race, no matter your color, no matter your creed, and a foreign policy that kept America safe? Those are the facts that truly matter, because this issue is going to come and go. The lives of the American people is what's going to remain, and that's what matters more than anything else.
If it doesn't matter, I don't understand why you keep on repeating it, why the president keeps on repeating it, why those introducing the president yesterday
George,
keep
actually,
on repeating
I'm
it.
I'm not the one who keeps repeating it. George, you're the one that's bringing it up now. That's
you've done it.
I understand why
sir,
you
you've done
it.
Up. You've done it three times. Every single answer George, you gave me. Now let me finish, sir.
George,
every single
you
answer you gave,
me,
you repeated
you
the slur.
Asked me, George. That's why I'm pushing back on you now. George, you
right,
asked me the question three times. I responded, but I'm
and every single time you repeat the slur, that is exactly my point. You simply can't say that it's wrong.
George, so then what you're saying, and I want to get off this topic because this is not the only thing that's going on. But George, now you're saying that AP is the one that slurred Kamala Harris, because those are the facts. You can go to the internet and look at the clips, George, if you want to, or we can talk about this now. I prefer to talk about the future of our country, because the American people are struggling. The American people do need serious policy decisions to be made, and they need serious leadership on the world stage. Kamala Harris has not proven that she can do that. Donald J. Trump has proven that he can do that.
AP did not say that Kamala Harris is not black. She is biracial. She is Indian. She is black. You continue to repeat the fact that you continue to repeat the slur. I don't understand why you and the president do it, but it's clear you're not going to say that it's wrong. And you've now established that for our audience. Trump also said at the convention that he would pardon January 6th rioters.
Everybody look for themselves. Let's move on.
I've already said that. Go ahead.
On the internet, everybody. Let's move on. There we go.
Go on and repeat the slurs again. Trump also said at the convention that he would pardon.
See, they can't stop themselves. They have to make everything about racism because they're the racists themselves. Who cares whether she's Indian or she's black? I don't give a crap one dime, thin dime, one way or the other. But what I do care about is somebody who changes their position to take advantage of whatever they want. You know, you can't say, it's like Obama. Did he ever mention one time that he was half white? No, because
that wouldn't have bolstered his power, his position that he was trying to implement into the black community. So it's about politics, but these guys can't let the racist thing go because that's what they want to have the conversation on instead of the actual things that are happening that affect you, like, you know, the border and so on and so forth. So that, you know, he's the one that keeps bringing up the racist, you know, what they want you to, admit you're wrong. That's what that's all about, is you need to admit you're wrong, that's a racist thing. How's it a racist thing to state the facts? How is it a racist thing to say that she's the one, or AP's the one, that said that she was an Indian American first, and now she's saying she's a black American? I'm not even African American, she's Jamaican. Who cares? I could care less if she was a frickin' Puerto Rican Martian. What's she doing at the border? That's the conversation they don't want to have, because that's the conversation that shows what her policies have been and how, absolute train wreck Biden and her has been for the economy, for the border, for the country, for all of it, you know, and they don't want to talk about that.
Well, and so one of the things, too, that anybody that is in their right mind should look up is just look up the race pandering and the way that she changes her conversation and speaks to people if she believes she's speaking to black people. And black people are the ones that are mentioning it and pointing it out. The language automatically changes to, y'all, it's so good to see y'all. It's so good to be here once again, and I just really enjoy the South. Oh, my gosh.
What you can't have with these people is a honest conversation. Honestly, she did change her position on what she wanted to be called or treated as, or whatever. It was Indian American when it was convenient, black American. So you can't say that, because they're going to flip that into a racist thing where you have to admit you're some kind of wrong by telling the truth. I mean, it's just retarded. It is completely insane. I got a couple other things we got to play. We got a bunch of clips to play here today, and
I ended up sending you one as well that was from Freedom Tunes in regards to the way the media ended up treating the Biden Trump assassination that I thought was pretty good. But I want to here we go. So this is literally Kamala Harris.
I don't feel no ways tired.
That Hillary?
That's Hillary.
Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
See, that, friends, is what we call the black scent, and that is the old country black scent. That is the black scent that all of these politicians bring out every 4 years when they want to go talk to the black folks. And they need to know the black folks. You know, they need to talk to them with the old Southern dialect. You know, when they talk to the black folks, they need to know that they ain't in no ways tired. And in 2024, we gonna get this done, black folks. We gonna give y'all freedom, black folks. We gonna give you freedom. You gonna vote for old Hillary Clinton because she ain't no ways tired? And you gonna vote for Kamala Harris so you can get some freedom. Some freedom from these evil folks that want to put you up in chains, black folks. That's what we're doing. Is that what you're doing?
I don't feel no way.
And just in case you're wondering, he is 100% black. He's not Indian. He ain't none of that.
I want to play this clip. This is from Buddy Brown, and this kind of addresses this a little bit. That it actually, she was the one that was admitting, now there's a clip that just came out the next couple of days about her doing I think it's a cooking show. This is Buddy Brown. Let's listen to this real quick.
Top of the morning, Patriots from good old Mississippi. Thank y'all so much for your prayers yesterday. As you can see, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling so much better. But holy cow, y'all need to just holler out to your buddy Jimmy, who's probably on lunch break right now. Tell him to just climb in the truck, because you ain't going to want to miss this video. Kamala Harris has officially admitted that she's not black. Maybe not yesterday, but she admitted it. And y'all going to love every single second of this, because I cannot get enough of it. I'm here for all of it. Real quick, I want to mention our sponsor, Ready Pantry. Y'all see these big old country tubs I take out all the time. Regardless of who wins in November, I'm just going to tell y'all, on a very serious note, the market will probably tank. It's all fake money. It's all been propped up. I've been talking to some very serious guys who are all kind of telling me how it's going to be lined up in the BRICS nations and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When I'm not hunting or fishing, on the days I don't kill, I've got this stuff stored up in my closet for those kind of reasons. I want y'all to have Ready Pantry as well. So go to readypantry.com/buddy. You'll get 10% off your order plus free shipping. I'll put the link below. Okay, big statement. Kamala Harris is not black. She is Indian. Matter of fact, in this damning video I'm about to show y'all, when she is everywhere this morning, she had every single chance in the world to choose how she wanted to identify, but she denied all her black sisters, okay? And she claims to be black only when convenient. What she does is she sides with her Indian race only, and I want y'all to pay attention to that. This is truly Kamala's Bill Clinton moment. I did not have sexual relations with that woman over there. What's her name? Monica Lewinsky. Except you did, Bill, right there on the Oval Office, on the Resolute desk, on our tax dollars. Appreciate you, Bill. So check it out, y'all. What it is a cooking video, and it's actually on her personal YouTube page from 4 years ago, and the title is Kamala Harris and Mindy Kaling Cook Masala Dosa, if I'm saying that right. That's the title. Here we go.
Okay, so what we're going to cook today is an Indian recipe.
Yes.
Because you are Indian.
Yes.
Okay, and I don't know that everybody knows that, but I find that wherever I go and I see Indian people, the supermarket, on the street, everyone's like, you know Kamala Harris is Indian, right? It's like our thing we're so excited about to have you running for president.
Yeah.
So we're both Indian, but actually we're both South Indian.
Yes. You look like the entire one half of my family.
Okay, thank you.
You do.
I've been telling people we're related already, so this is perfect. It's basically true.
So there you have it, y'all. She is, in fact, Indian. That's how she chose to identify to the entire world. Now, look, we were all completely freaking silent when Obama decided, I'm going to identify as black. I'm going to stick with that, even though his mama is full white. That's the side he's going to stick on. You just got to pick one, and that's, you know, dance with the one who brought you, big boy. But Kamala just did something really backhanded here. She gave the middle finger to her black sisters everywhere, denying their existence was anywhere even in her DNA. And even worse, the news called Trump a liar because he ever had any kind of question or there was ever any kind of confusion. Massive lawsuits need to be filed against the AP, CNN, MSNBC, and all those articles that ran yesterday saying Trump falsely accuses Harris of, you know, not knowing which race she is. Massive lawsuits. I'm telling y'all, we need to pull a Sandman on these people and bankrupt these corporations. This is how we win. This is how we get ahead. Sue them for billions because it is absolute truth that she identified as Indian. Do y'all know she's not even African American? Her black half comes from Jamaica, which is not Africa. Hell, Elon Musk is more African American than Kamala Harris. That's why they need to go after the AP News and CNN and all these others, because we need to bankrupt these people. I'm telling y'all, I take screenshots in real time of all these people and all these news agencies when they post lies like this, just in case the Trump campaign or anybody else needs them. Because you know dadgum well they're going to delete these articles as soon as these kind of videos, like I'm showing you the freaking cooking show, come out. But what I want y'all to do is to share this video with all the true black patriots across America and even the liberal white women who continue to defend her. She's a liar, y'all. And Trump had 1,000% right to question her race because Kamala trades out races faster than J-Lo trades out boyfriends. And y'all know it's true. So the cooking show's out now. She denied her black race. It's everywhere. You can't go back. You can't delete it. Especially because I'm going to keep it on here forever. The final verdict? The final verdict, I'm going to let Joe Biden take this one. Take it, Joe.
And you ain't black.
Y'all be good.
So, you know, the fact that she did say she was Indian, I don't even care, like I say, but this whole thing, they make everything a racial issue. And what's the truth? The truth is she identified as an Indian. Who gives a shit? I'm sorry, who gives a crap? Did I say that, man?
No.
No, I think, I hope that gets bleeped. Anyway.
So at the end of the day, we're seeing, once again, the race wars that are just being baited at every turn. Everything that they're trying to do is basically just an inflection, and that's what it comes down to. It you don't have any substantive points. You don't want to talk about the border. You don't want to talk about the fact our food is double what it was 4 years ago. You don't want to talk about the fact that our energy costs are up, and you don't want to talk about the fact that we still haven't actually ended up filling back up our oil reserves, even though they claim that we did.
I mean, the list goes on and on, foreign policy. Here's another one from Joe Rogan. I'm going to play this real quick.
Well, before we get to that, this last week there was a really dirty tactic that they tried to do by acting like they refilled the oil reserves. So get this. We had 130-something million barrels that they wanted to dip into more. And based upon the fact that they had already passed that they were going to dip in more, they filled it up a certain amount minus the 130 barrels and then said, oh, okay, we filled it up based upon this. Meanwhile, they didn't actually fill it up. They just said, since it was already allocated that we had ended up doing this and this was now lower, we're just going to say that we filled it up. And then you also have those unfunded liabilities from not selling that oil that didn't end up going to it as well. So it is a total game that they're playing with us, that our war reserves at a time when we're screwing around with Russia, screwing around with Iran and Israel, screwing around with China, we are screwing around with our oil reserves. That's brilliant.
Well, let's go to a break, and we'll come back for this other clip with Joe Rogan. We got a lot of clips to play today because my voice is a little off, so I figured I'd better set up some clips. But yours seems to be doing just fine. So let's go to our break right now, and we'll go from there.
You can take all our money, but you can't have our soul. You can burn down our buildings, and we'll still find a home. We will all stick together, and we'll never surrender. We won't give up our freedom. There were bright lights before it all went to dark, and their white lies, they divided our hearts.
In the blink of an eye, we were all left with scars. Listen to man-made decisions, should've trusted God.
You can take all our money, but you can't have our soul.
You could burn down our buildings, and we'll still find a home.
We will all stick together, and we'll never surrender. We won't give up our freedom.
From the shores of California, all the way down to Houston.
Ready for an unforgettable night of amazing music and good vibes? Then join us for an epic night at Danger Kitty's Billion Dollar Bash 2. It's all going down August 24th at the Axiom Repertory Theater, and this lineup is straight fire. We're talking about the killer sounds of Jeremy Ryan and the California Grown Band and the Pine Dogs Unleashed as openers, with Danger Kitty as the main event. Plus, you'll be feasting on some mouthwatering grub from Lakata's Catering, and the Axiom No Host Bar will be open. The whole shebang is included in your ticket price, and it's powered by Kay Shasta, Soundwave Entertainment, and KCNR Radio. Don't miss out on what is guaranteed to be a legendary night of rock and roll. Grab your tickets, rally your crew, as this promises to be a night to remember. Head on over to our website, DangerKittyMusic.com, or the Axiom Theater website for all the details and tickets. We'll see you there.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience
and achieve
your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
From the rolling hills of Tennessee to the wide plains of Montana State, there's a voice that calls us strong and free. Stand your ground, it echoes, come what may.
our father's legacy in our hands. From sea to shining sea we stand. If you can't take our guns away, it's all right, come night or day. We're the land of the free, the brave must wait. Under stars and stripes we'll always stay. Raise your voice, let's make it clear. This is our ground, we hold it dear. Let's head in the towns where history's carved with the spirit of the bold and the brave. Our rights written down by the founder's hand, all the freedoms that we swear to save. From every mountain let it ring, a nation strong together we claim.
Sovereign Minds, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We're back. Your talk radio, your truth radio. And so we have a caller on the line. Are you there, Dick?
Yeah. How you doing, Mark?
Oh, the fun never stops. How about you?
Anyway, you guys talking about black and white and Indians and stuff, it reminds me, a few years ago at one of our Tea Party meetings, I forget who the guest was, but I asked a question. We had similar discussion. I said, Barack Obama is only 8% Negro, and his mother is Caucasian. His predominant race is Caucasian. I said, why do they call him the first black president? Why don't they call him the dark-skinned Caucasian president instead of the black president? And I'm wondering, what tiny percent of black do you have in your system where you're not called black anymore? Is it 0.0001%, or what's the number that you're not? That it seems like we have the tiniest little bit of black somewhere in your ancestry that they call you a black person. And what's that secret percentage?
I don't even think you have to have any black in you to say you're black. Remember, remember that one gal? She dressed up as a black woman, frizzed her hair and everything. She was completely white and said she was black. So it's identity politics is all it is. It doesn't matter what your actual blood has in it, as much as that, you know, what are you trying to accomplish with your identity?
Yeah, I never got a good answer as why they call. I think Barack Obama only had 8% Negro in
it. How do you know it was 8%? Because I know his father was Kenyan. I'm assuming he's a.
Yeah, I think his dad was.
His father was part Negro, but not his mother though. I think he was only 8%.
Oh.
But his mother was Caucasian, so he's predominantly a white person.
Yeah, I don't know the exact percentage of blood, but it doesn't really matter. Other than, you know, these people, it's all about the race bait. You know, if they use you to feel, you know, they've used it to make you feel guilty about something that nobody ever had anything to do with. I mean, did you own any slaves? Were they ever any slaves? You know, it's all about it's a grift. You know, I mean, at this point, because you know, 150 years ago, you got a legitimate argument. At this point in time, you know, you just had Barack Obama as the first black president. How can you keep pushing the race card unless there's some advantages to that being used as against other races for your own benefit? I mean, it's just nuts.
All right, so you got to listen to this one, too, in that regard.
Well, let's go ahead and let Dick.
And also, if a man can identify as a woman, you wish, I guess you can identify as an Indian, too.
Well, there you go. Just join the Olympic team. You can become a boxer.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's all I have to say.
All right, thanks, Dick.
Thanks, Dick. All right, so here's one that I think should be highlighted, since everybody's talking about the whole race thing. Kamala Harris is descendant of an Irish slave owner in Jamaica. So, presumptive that Democratic nominee and U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris has Irish roots, but not in the way she'd likely embrace. Miss Harris is the daughter of Donald J. Harris, who was born in Jamaica, and Shamalaya Harris from India. Geological research carried out by the Northern Irish historian Stephen McCracken reveals that Miss Harris four times paternal great-grandfather, Hamilton Brown was born in Country Antrim in 1776, the year of the U.S. Declaration of Independence. Brown immigrated to Jamaica and then the British colony and became an enthusiastic slave owner on the sugar plantations and was a mainstay of the island's economy. He opposed the abolition of slavery across the British Empire in 1832 and went to Antrim to replace his slaves with workers from his native country. How about that?
It's all stupid. You know, here's a question, you know, too. Her mother's name was Shamalala whatever Harris. Harris isn't exactly an Indian name last time I checked. My point is, does she have more white than she has Indian and black?
It certainly could be. I mean, when you go back and you look at my history, all right, so I'm Italian, I'm black, I'm Indian, and I've actually got quite a bit of those in me. You wouldn't look at me and think it, but probably as far as it goes, probably, hey, am I the first black radio host on the show? Is that what it is?
You look like Tintin. Who cares? So it's so stupid. That's the point of this whole conversation. It's absolutely stupid because what it does is it takes away from the policies that are being implemented as the problem, as in now it turns it into it's how you identify as the problem. And, you know, that's something that nobody can control to begin with.
Well, and the funny thing is, you know what? Looking back at it, I said a couple of weeks ago, looking at all the people that are still the problem inside of Congress, they're the ones that their families had slaves. So, all right, if we really want to go down that route, let's go ahead and eliminate everybody who is slave owners.
Here's the thing. At one time or another throughout history, every single race in the world has had slaves at one point or another, or I mean, it's really that simple. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're Indian or black or white or whatever it is. Everybody had slaves because it was a different day back in the day. That you didn't have any rights. You know, there were no individual rights until the Constitution was implemented in a government that said that we're all created equal and we all have certain inalienable rights. That didn't exist before.
Well, this is what you notice, too, amongst generations like ours. We are in the most privileged time to live, bar none. You have air conditioning.
From a comfort standpoint, absolutely.
You have the ability to travel freely and be able to go over long distances. You look at the founding of this country and the way people died just migrating from one side of the country to the other in masses. And it wasn't a small number. It was a vast percentage of the people that attempted it. Died. When you look throughout history, most of the time throughout history is filled with war, turmoil, slavery, people that are either wiping out everybody, and this is the thing too. So,
see, freedom is what gave us the standard of living. People can't seem to bridge the gap. Freedom is what gave us the standard of living because now a person could go out and think of something that would benefit society and make a buck off it while he was doing it and not have the government confiscate everything that he made. It's really that simple. Excuse me. All right, so let's go to this clip. This is the Joe Rogan Show. I don't know who the guest is here. But I want to play this real quick, and it's only a couple minutes, but you'll get the point here.
Right. If you're going after Officer Harris, you're either racist or sexist or ableist.
Right.
So they will use
ableist.
Yeah, because she's a retard. She's literally retarded. I mean,
that's got to be
Ukraine
Michael Malice.
Ukraine is a country in Europe, and Russia is another country and a powerful country. And Russia invaded Ukraine, and that's wrong.
What's really important?
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
I think of her as America's wine mom.
Okay, now I had to cut that because I'm going to go just a little bit ahead.
Is that Michael Malice?
Yes,
that's got to be
Michael
Malice. Michael
Malice.
It seems like she's three deep by noon, and she's got the three phases of wine mom. She's got happy drunk.
Oh, my God, this cereal's got a rabbit on it. It's so
good. Tackling, tackling, tackling. Then one there is trying to drunk at work, where you're trying to make sense, but you don't. Space is around us all and unites us all and inspires us all.
Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree.
Space is exciting. It spurs our imaginations, and it forces us to ask big questions. Space, it affects us all, and it connects us all.
And then there's, I'm being stern so you don't realize how plastered I am, and I'm making a point. Dr. Little Girl was me. Now I'm going to go upstairs and don't knock on the door because I'm going to pass out. So.
And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools, and she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And
it's unbelievable, you know, but it's who she is, you know. He's not exaggerating, you know.
Well, and one of the things that they've done with both Hillary and with her, rather than having, because they both have the potential to be very strong, very well-worded women. The problem is that I believe that they're being educated by the people that are trying to get them into office, that they need to come across as this jovial, fun, and joyous person. And so both Hillary and her suffer from this, to where when asked anything, they cackle. They sound like somebody needs to get this woman her broom back and send her back from the Wicked Witch of the East. There's no way around that. You can't ask a question into everything. Yeah, the border is such a great thing. I've never been to Europe either. It's not good. Just answer the damn question, yeah, lady.
That was a little too good. It's just ridiculous, this the whole thing. And, you know, and like I say, she went from zero to hero in, what, 3.0 in the last few weeks. Well, according to the media, now they're saying she's ahead in the polls. And do you believe anything? This is the same media that said there was nothing wrong with Joe Biden. So do you believe anything?
Honestly, I think I'm going to end up having to put some money where my mouth is and go on the opposite side of that bet unpredicted. I mean, if you're gonna take a bet that Kamala Harris is it, and you're gonna give me at 1-to-1 ratio or better? Ooh, I'm tempted. I'm really tempted. But then again, you've also got the whole situation with the voter fraud and all that crap that's going on. So I've got one here that is on that particular topic. Stunning. Ninth Circuit reverses its ruling on voter registration and proof of citizenship in Arizona, which, if you remember, Arizona was one of those ones to where kind of wasn't great.
Well, the Ninth Circuit just reversed that, so it's going to have to be appealed to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's great. Yeah. It's like, the point is, they don't want a free and fair election. They don't want only citizens voting. They want to contain and control power for themselves, and that's what this is really all about, the border, all of it. But the consequences are is that we don't have a country left and we have no rights.
Well, and I'm trying to bring up this next article here, but in regards to this one, a stunning reversal from the ruling on July 18th, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said that anyone registering to vote in the state of Arizona must provide proof of citizenship to vote in all elections. The court now says that the documentation is not necessary by 2-to-1 on Thursday. The rationale from the judges on the three-panel judge panel, who is in the majority, that change this close to the November elections would cause confusion and chaos. So that's the rationalization. In Thursday's order approved on a 2-to-1 vote, the court reversed last month's decision on a motions panel that blocked certain voter registrations. That panel misunderstood the extent of the confusion and chaos that would be engendered by a late-stage alteration by the status quo of Arizona's election rules. Really? So you not going to worry about that. And then you've also got all across the country right now from 3 days ago. Here's one from Ohio. Ohio purging hundreds of non-citizens from voter rolls amid 2024 election audits. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose is moving to purge hundreds of non-citizens currently registered to vote after an election year audit revealed the flaws in the state voter rolls. The audit uncovered 499 individuals who are registered to vote but are not U.S. citizens. The removals announced Thursday include individuals who confirmed their non-citizen status by Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles. That data was then paired with the Federal Systematic Alien Verification and Entitlements SAVE database, which also confirmed them to be non-citizens. These individuals failed to respond to notices from the Secretary of State's office asking that they confirm their citizenship status or cancel their registration. So this is just stuff that's going on this week, and it's little by little, but you see all of these things just start adding up when you start seeing, okay, so Georgia elections offices, once again, had all kinds of people that were
voting.
They
didn't cheat in 2020, did they?
Well, and so did you hear anything about this situation to where Act Blue was receiving $200,000+ plus from people that they're just randomly using money?
Well, that's where a lot of this money has been being raised. Is that it's all money that's coming from places that they shouldn't be coming from. And, you know, we've seen, like the Project Veritas sting operation where they're going out there. Did you donate $200,000, to the Act Blue or Trump campaign or the Biden campaign? No. Did you? How much? I donated like $20. So, but they get them in there. It's all about fraud. I'm going to play this clip here. This is going viral. This is from a black woman named Michaela, and this is at a Trump rally. And let's hear what she has to say about Kamala.
They don't want to talk policy. They just want to use propaganda to steal your vote. The left is trying to tout this woman as a savior for the black community, but all she's done is hurt the black community since she came into the game. See, the first step in destroying the black community is to dismantle the black family. So aside from her record as a prosecutor, why don't we ask Mrs. Willie Brown if Kamala Harris cares about black families?
Yeah. So that's going viral, evidently. But, here's another one. I'm going to play this one real quick, too. This is from Bob Casey. Bob Casey just endorsed the most liberal nominee in U.S. history. And we also know that it's kind of a coup on the whole thing on how they got her to be the nominee to begin with. We could talk about that too, but let's listen to this. This is from Dave McCormick.
Kamala Harris is inspiring and very capable. The more people get to know her, they're going to be particularly impressed by her ability.
This nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator.
I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal. There's no question I'm in favor of banning frack.
Would you ban offshore drilling?
Yes.
What is the solution for voters in the fossil fuel industry?
Giving the workers an ability to transition. We're not going to treat people who are undocumented across borders criminals. That's correct.
Raise your hand if you think it should be a civil offense rather than a crime to cross the border without documentation.
Abolish ICE.
Yeah, is that a position you agree with?
And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
Outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Would you support changing the dietary guidelines?
The food pyramid. What people
yes.
Yes. To reduce red meat specifically.
Yes.
People who are convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, on death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
So for people out there who like their insurance, they don't get to keep it?
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
I am opposed to any policy that would deny any human being public health, period.
The more people get to know her, they're going to be particularly impressed by her ability.
Yeah, right. So that means free health care for every citizen in the world except us. It's like right now, everybody's got health insurance, but you can't even get any health care. I mean, and the death panels are real. I mean, you know, they always talked about when Obamacare was passing, there'd be death panels. Well, it's coming down to that because, you know, who's picking and choosing who gets treated? And the administration and the hospitals, who's picking and choosing? This guy has got a problem that's not fixable. So we'll just put him on hold until he's gone, and then we'll go after somebody who's younger. I mean, what is that? That's kind of what they're doing.
Well, we've seen this back since 2020. I mean, you add the vaccination status that you would have to get the jab in order to get a heart transplant or something of the nature on that. So they would refuse people any type of medical treatment based upon the idea you're not taking a gene therapy that is completely unvetted at the time. And lo and behold, everybody that was saying, hey, there's issues with this and you need to look into it because there's some serious issues with this and I'm not putting that in my body, turned out to be right.
Right.
And at the same time, you've got countless people that were rendered dead because they weren't given medical aid, because they were stopped on the transplant list, because they were not going to take the thing that was going to end their very lives. And now you're seeing all kinds of reports that are coming out saying, yeah, it actually looks like the vaccine killed more people than it saved.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, the conspiratory guys are up like 100-1 at this point as far as the truth. So I don't know. It's crazy days indeed, and that's what we're dealing with, and it's going to get more crazy before we get better.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, let's think about this. All right, where's the masks? Where's the continued vaccinations? Is it gone? Did it disappear? It doesn't exist anymore?
They'll bring it back.
We just moved on from it because everybody basically realized this is BS and we're not doing it.
Well, I think that's more the case than anything, is that people realize it's BS and we're not doing it, more than it is by anybody coming out and saying that it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people just went, common sense at some point does kick in. You know, I mean, it's just like the vaccine. It's like, gee, who's been getting the COVID? The guys who were getting the shots?
Well, and I was seeing a report the other day where somebody was going through and was talking about how the people that didn't get the jab were the winners. And the comments section were filled up with, how am I the winner? I got ostracized from my family. I watched my father die right after he ended up getting it. I ended up being disowned and removed from the will prior to, based upon the fact that I was trying to protect them and save their life based upon the information I thought I had. And so you see comments like this throughout the whole section, and it's like, yeah, we really did that. We really made it to where parents couldn't see their children die in the hospital, or loved ones couldn't see their parents die in the hospital. They had to do it over Zoom calls because somebody up in power said, we need to make this experimental gene therapy mandatory in order to work and do your life. And meanwhile, you have the videos of Dr. Fauci that came out recently where he's saying, yeah, we need to make it to where we can't live in polite society with these people. We need to make it to where they can't keep their jobs. We need to make it hard on them unless they're willing to get it. And he's said this now for 30-plus years, and if there's anybody that needs to be prosecuted and sentenced to jail for the rest of their life, it's him. But we haven't seen it.
Could this be another class action lawsuit?
It should be. It absolutely should be. And it's something that we're not probably ever going to get justice on, and it's something that they're just going to brush under the rug like everything else. I mean, you look at the Trump assassination that just took place, the assassination attempt that just took place, and they're already brushing it under the rug. They're already pretending it didn't happen, and we're not even a month into this thing. That's the most historic thing that's happened certainly within my lifetime to a sitting president or a potential presidential candidate, certainly. And the only other person that's had anything that was around that was Gretchen Whitmer, and she actually ended up having her own FBI be so corrupted and so part of it that they ended up having to throw the case out for most of it because it was something stupid like 14 of the people that supposedly brought the plot against her were FBI agents, and they couldn't even get the address right, which is why they ended up having to have so many of these people ended up being let go. I mean, it was just the amount and level of setups and corruption that will never be brought to justice in this country right now is why people don't believe in the system.
Well, under this current administration, you're absolutely correct. We'll see what happens in the next one, but I'm not necessarily super optimistic. All right, so we're just about at the top of the hour. We got another minute or so. I've got a JP Sears clip at the beginning. Oh, I guess we should also queue up the town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm.
as well. And so the second half of the hour, we're going to be talking about some tax stuff here. I was Inspector General, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and how some of the IRS people are not paying their taxes. They did an audit, IRS audit report reveals that IRS employees owe $50 million back taxes. Gee, is that a double standard? And so we've got a bunch of other stuff to cover when we come back. So I guess we might as well go out, huh? Are we there?
Yep, let's go ahead and do that. And then I've also got several stories, too, to cover as well.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Tropical Storm Debbie is strengthening as it moves through the Gulf of Mexico toward Florida. Forecasters predict it will become a hurricane and drench Florida's west coast. Michael Brennan is at the National Hurricane Center.
By Monday morning, we're going to see the hurricane making landfall somewhere along the Florida Big Bend coast. The potential for expecting hurricane force winds somewhere within that warning area. So you want to use the rest of today to get your property ready, put up any shutters, secure any loose items, be planning for widespread power outages, tree damage, some structural damage as well.
Debbie is expected to bring heavy rain to Georgia and the Carolinas as well later in the week. Rain needed in the western U.S., that's where some 90 wildfires are burning in several states, including California. The Park Fire is that state's fourth largest fire on record. It has already destroyed more than 500 structures. Although this weekend's weather was better than hoped for, says Public Information Officer Devin Terrell.
We really presumed that it was going to have a lot more of an impact. We've really made a lot of progress over the last couple of days, especially on the entire left flank of the fire. The only real problem side of it, I would say, is the northeast corner of the fire. There's a lot of really steep drainages in that area that make it really hard to, you know, just make access, and it takes a lot more time to access those areas because of the terrain.
A new round of violence today in Bangladesh has left dozens of people dead, hundreds of others injured. All of this as student protesters clash with police. Protesters are demanding the resignation of the prime minister. It's a problem over the quota system for government jobs. It has escalated into violence, leaving more than 200 people dead on the streets in Bangladesh. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-838-8822. That's 800-838-8822. 800-838-8822.
Even Mexico's largest corporations are now being hit by demands for protection payments from drug cartels.
Gangs are increasingly trying to control the sales, distribution, and pricing of certain goods. The problem came to a head recently when the FEMSA Corporation, which operates Mexico's largest chain of convenience stores, announced it was closing all of its 191 stores in the border city of Nuevo Laredo. The company said that it had long had to deal with cartel demands that its associated gas stations buy from certain distributors.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. There are heightened recession fears following the dismal July employment report that saw the nation's unemployment rate rise to 4.3%. That led to a Wall Street sell-off on Friday, the Dow plunging more than 610 points, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ dropping into correction territory. Townhall.com. A top Jordanian official is heading to Iran as tensions rise in the Middle East.
The visit by Jordan's Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi, the first senior official visit in 20 years, comes as the U.S. and its Arab allies try to prevent a regional conflict. Israel killed a senior Hezbollah commander in an airstrike on Beirut recently. Later, Hamas's top political leader was killed in an explosion in Tehran. Both attacks were widely blamed on Israel, which has acknowledged killing the Hezbollah commander. Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas have vowed to avenge the killings. Jordan, which borders Israel to the east, would likely be in the path of any Iranian retaliatory strike. I'm Karen Shamas.
Vice President Kamala Harris is interviewing finalists this weekend as she gets closer to announcing her VP running mate. The two will then begin campaigning together in Philadelphia Tuesday and travel to battleground states in a week-long blitz. More at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
They're talking about taking our rights away in the heartland where the Eagles play. You can't replace a man with a worn-out hat or the steel in his hands or the boot on his mat. I seen the sweat on fields in the morning light, and I'd rather fight than lose that sight. Silver screen costume men with their tails, but I've lived the dirt roads and the hardback trails. This is my country, this is my fight. From dawn till the dusk, I'll stand for what's right. Hard work in our veins, pride in our song. We'll hold our ground, it's where we belong. Crushing the dreams in a factory town, telling us to lay our rifles down. But a country boy's grit, it just won't break, for the roots run deep in the lands we sing. I heard Grandpa's stories about the war in the farm, his legacy beast in the stubborn arm. No suit or decree can take his flame. As long as I breathe, I'll carry his name. Country, this is my fight. From dawn till the dusk, I'll stand for what's right. Hard work in our veins, pride in our songs. We'll hold our ground, it's where we belong. This is my fight. From dawn till the dusk, I'll stay.
Sovereign Minds, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, North Truth Radio. Here is our town hall. Let's go ahead and go with it.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. Tensions ran high in Shasta County last week as local officials found themselves at the center of a firestorm over press freedom. The controversy ignited when county leadership unveiled a new policy that would have relegated journalists to a separate room while covering Board of Supervisors meetings. The policy immediately drew sharp criticism from residents, journalists, and free speech advocates. The First Amendment Coalition swiftly protested, arguing the rules violated the Brown Act and jeopardized editorial independence. Adding to the drama, Sheriff Michael Johnson publicly distanced himself from the decision, contradicting claims by Supervisor Kevin Cry about law enforcement's involvement. Facing mounting pressure, Board Chair Cry ultimately rescinded the policy, citing public concerns. The incident laid bare ongoing tensions in the Shasta County governance and sparked debate about transparency and media access in local government. As the dust settled, newly elected Supervisors Matt Plummer and Alan Long called for a renewed focus on addressing meeting disruptions and county issues, emphasizing open communication and adherence to First Amendment principles. Meanwhile, another case drew the attention of local law enforcement enforcement. The Shasta County Sheriff's Office made a notable arrest earlier this week in the ongoing case of missing Nikki Chang Saley McCain. Her husband, Tyler McCain, 39, was taken into custody during a routine traffic stop when deputies discovered ammunition in his vehicle, a violation of his criminal protective order. However, McCain was promptly released after posting bail. This development came amid the continuing search for Nikki, who disappeared on May 18th. The couple's history, which includes domestic violence allegations, has been a focus of the investigation. Previous charges against Tyler were dismissed when Nikki was unavailable to testify, but her prolonged absence has intensified concerns. A $30,000 reward is offered for information leading to Nikki's whereabouts. Authorities urge anyone with information to contact the Sheriff's Office at 530-245-6135 or email mcu@shastacounty.gov. A heartbreaking incident struck our community earlier this week, claiming the life of a 55-year-old Redding man. John Douglas was found dead on a discarded couch behind a Lake Boulevard business. The victim, who had been sleeping at the time, suffered severe trauma to his head and face. Security footage captured a disturbing scene of a 15-year-old male brutally attacking the sleeping Douglas with a baseball bat. The young suspect was quickly apprehended and booked into the Shasta County Juvenile Rehabilitation Facility on murder charges. This tragic event highlighted the vulnerabilities faced by our homeless neighbors and the complex issues surrounding youth violence within our community. Law enforcement continues its investigation and urges anyone with information to come forward. Lastly, the city of Redding recently took control of Big League Dreams following years of contractual issues. The facility required upgrades costing between $3 and $7 million, straining the city's budget. Vice Mayor Julie Winter acknowledged the financial challenge as the city had already suffered losses from missed rent payments. Despite setbacks, officials committed to reviving the baseball staple. Community Services Director Travis Menny reflected on past support efforts, while Mayor Tanessa Audette expressed disappointment in the operator's failures. Redding pledged to work with the community on solutions, aiming for a swift and physically responsible reopening. While city officials focused on Redding's interests, the facility's impact extended to residents throughout the county. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Well, there you go. There's the town hall. And, wow, I can hear my microphone when I move it. Let's see where we're at here. I want to play this JP thing. This is about the Trump assassination attempt, and kind of a parody about was it an inside job or not. Let's go ahead and play this real quick.
So, Jesus. What did you think about the assassination?
Dude, I almost had that game beat. So everybody but the media says the shooter had help. But that's not true. Now, I know this will sound absolutely insane and like I'm off my rocker, but the assassination attempt was not an inside job. Let me get my files. Now, just hear me out. I'll prove it. Let's just establish right off the bat, the shooter acted alone. But all the conspiratorial people are saying things like, well, what's a 20-year-old doing with multiple encrypted messaging accounts? Well, you have to realize the media has been telling us he's a loner. So it sounds to me like he was using encrypted messaging accounts so no one could find out that he didn't have anyone to message. Because he was embarrassed by how lonely he was. Okay, now this is just a complete misunderstanding. Crooks, who didn't know how to make explosives, had homemade explosives in his truck and a detonator with him on the roof. At first glance, it does sound a little suspicious, but it's easy to explain. The shooting happened on July 13th, so the explosives were probably just left over from the 4th of July. Oh, bomb-level explosives? Well, yeah, he probably just really wanted to celebrate the 4th of July. He's probably just a really patriotic guy. Who forgot to set them off on the 4th and then tried to kill the president? Well, like, who doesn't have explosives? I've got explosives in my truck right now. Now, I've seen reports of a lot of conspiratorial nutjobs who say, oh, well, crooks didn't act alone. And they'll cite things like the Heritage Foundation that released cell phone data of a mysterious person who made frequent trips to Crooks' home from a building in D.C. near the FBI office. Frequent trips? That sounds suspicious. Not when you do the math. The most obvious explanation is there's probably an Amazon shipping warehouse in D.C. And this so-called mysterious person was probably just an Amazon delivery driver taking DVD box sets of Friends to Crooks' home in Pennsylvania.
Probably liked to watch Friends because he didn't have any. Think about that.
And if the FBI can get into Crooks' phone, I'm sure they'll find he was a Prime member. But for now, the FBI says they can't get into his phone. But I'm sure they're working hard on it. Oh, talking about the FBI, we better turn our phones off. They're most likely in our phones right now listening to us, and I don't want them to think I'm talking negatively about them. I love you guys. Now, the day of the event, there were a lot of security anomalies, but they're all very easy to explain away. You know, like, for example, people are putting way too much weight into this, that the Secret Service had been watching Crooks long enough before the shooting that they had pictures of him, and they were circulating the pictures.
Why'd they have pictures of him if they didn't think he was a threat? And if they thought he was a threat, why didn't they neutralize him?
Nut jobs. By my estimates, the Secret Service probably thought he was a severely autistic boy, and they were impressed that he knew how to use a rangefinder. I would take a picture of that. You know, like, if you see a cat playing blackjack, you're going to take a picture of it. Oh, yeah, and then there's all kinds of people saying, well, police were inside the building that Crooks was on the roof of when he took the shots. How'd they let that happen? The answer is so obvious. The police were inside. Crooks was on the roof. They couldn't see or hear him. Wait a minute. What's that sound? Hold on, I'll be right back. Oh, we're good. It was nothing. It was just a squirrel on the roof. Those things are so loud with their little tiny feet scampering. Oh, yeah. And then the conspiracy theorists raise this issue like, well, there were so many witnesses that saw Crooks on the roof crawling with a rifle and they alerted authorities. What happened there?
Well, nobody likes a tattletale. And like the boy who cried wolf, you can't believe everything people tell you. But believe me when I say this, Crooks acted alone.
And then people say things like, well, why wasn't Secret Service on the roof? They must have been ordered to stand down. No, what those people just aren't hearing is now former Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle came out and said the roof was too slope. It was too dangerous. Case in point, Crooks went on that roof and he died on that roof. That sounds like a dangerous roof to me. Now hear me on this issue, because a lot of people are taking this bait into thinking it was an inside job. Because Senator Josh Hawley has said he had a whistleblower come forward, which informed him that most of Trump's security that day weren't even Secret Service. They were inexperienced personnel assigned by DHS. But why would Trump be getting his security from a delivery company?
You're thinking about DHL.
Shell, DHS. Oh, I don't know about that. Like, what are you going to believe, a whistleblower? They're usually so mentally unstable that they often take their own lives. Just look at all the Boeing whistleblowers. They're not reliable, stable people. Yeah, and then people are raising the issue that Trump's team had routinely asked the DHS for more security personnel, and they were denied. Well, that's probably because Trump got confused like me, and he was asking DHL. They don't even have security, apparently. Well, now, I'll tell you this. People are driving me crazy with all this talk about there being that second shooter.
Oh, yeah, there was a second shooter on the water tower. Look at this mysterious dark figure.
First of all, it's not a dark figure. It's a figure of color. Get with the times, bigots. Second, do you know how unlikely it is that there would be a second shooter? It would be completely unprecedented. Once the official investigations conclude, there are never second shooters, always a lone gunman. It's just how they do it. Yeah, like just think about the JFK assassination. Alan Dulles was the head of the CIA until JFK fired him because he was corrupt and couldn't be trusted. But once JFK was assassinated, Dulles was assigned to the Warren Commission to get to the bottom of the assassination.
Oh, was it the CIA?
No, psycho. The former head of the CIA that JFK fired concluded it was a lone gunman.
It is pretty much the same here with Trump.
You have to understand that the FBI, CIA, and Secret Service are investigating the assassination attempt, and if there was any inside involvement of the FBI, CIA, or Secret Service, they would have found it by now. Conclusion! It was a lone gunman and the assassination attempt. And for that to be conclusive, that would imply that there was only one person on Earth that wants Trump dead. And guess what? That was Crooks! The one person on Earth that wanted Trump dead,
is dead. Nobody else would have had any motive. So, case closed, not an inside job.
There's a lot to unpack there. I'm not even going to try. But I thought that was worth playing just because of all of the issues there that they brought up.
Well, we're not allowed to ask the questions. It's just immediately forget about it. And when they do talk before Congress, they always bring up the cute 15-year-old boy that is anti-Jewish at 15, but never his newer account stuff that ends up talking about how he's so anti-fascist and anti-Trump and needs to go against MAGA and all the rest of these things, or the videos that he's just losing his freaking mind about how he needs to go and kill Trump. Like, that was pre the fact. And then, of course, the big thing that really strikes me as odd is normally you have the counter-sniper team has at least 3 days to set up. They have an ability to go through and figure everything out about the area. They normally would go through and vet all these different people. But for some reason, they swapped out his normal team for this B team that was a bunch of obviously incompetent, inexperienced Secret Service agents that probably shouldn't be protecting Joe Biden's dog.
There you have it. Should I play this Freedom Tune thing as you sent me?
Yeah, let's do that. That would be a nice palate cleanser.
Okay, here we go.
If you really want to see something that says, take a look at what happened with...
Oh, wow. Look, I'm Donald Trump. I think I'm so cool because I got shot. What a loser.
Are people seriously pretending that looks cool? He did a photo op because he heard a loud noise? Loser!
Ugh, who's impressed with this guy?
America will never be defeated. USA! 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 USA!
Wow, now he's juggling. Will he go to magic camp? Who is this supposed to impress?
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
As if we're supposed to be intimidated by this. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this just in. Joe Biden just bravely and heroically dropped out of the race with seemingly courageous tweets.
Whoa, that's the bravest and most patriotic thing I've ever heard of.
Truly an American hero. Can you imagine anything more impressive?
What a legacy.
You know, not many people could pull that off. That really is impressive.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, if you can't tell that the media is completely slanted and biased and has an agenda, then you're just really not very bright. And so you got to get your news from other sources as well, and you got to vet everything. But now obviously that's a cartoon, but that would have probably been better off on a podcast. It does stuff people needed to see. But it is what it is. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a good one from the visuals as well. He's fighting a bear. He's blowing out all kinds of like fire that makes an American flag. And obviously the news is just being constant news. But I've got one here that I'd be willing to bet you probably haven't heard. But I'd also be willing to bet is probably the most important news article that came out in the last couple of days. So, first, the man who masterminded the 9/11 attacks, Khalid Zaki Mohammed, was agreed to a plea deal along with two of his accomplices. The Pentagon announced late Wednesday the man known as KSM agreed to plead guilty to the crime of conspiracy, and the New York Times is claiming the deal spared KSM and the other two men the death penalty. Instead, they'll have a life sentence. That proposal had previously been sent last year to the families of nearly the 3,000 victims of 9/11, but proved to be too divisive. Most of the families wanted death for the three men. But the Pentagon and the Department of Justice decided otherwise. As for why that might be, they argue that seeking the death penalty would have required a trial. The Department of Justice was working to avoid that because it could either expose classified information during discovery, or they would have to admit poor treatment or even torture of the men while they were in U.S. custody at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, or secret CIA detention facilities abroad. but that risk to the families were happy for the government to take. They wanted justice, especially for KSM. He was the lead organizer and pretty evil man, and exposed his personal joy when he beheaded a journalist named Daniel Pearl in 2002. The other men, by the way, were also pretty awful. One helped train the AK Al-Qaeda hijackers and buy them explosives, and the other were key financiers for the attacks. In a related case, the so-called 20th hijackers, Akiris Marzi, tried to appeal his life sentence this week, and he wanted to finish in France. He argued that if Donald Trump wins in November, he'll likely be put to death, so he said, let me go to Paris. The DOJ denied that appeal. So, the next, we also have national security and a prisoner swap between the U.S., Russia, Germany, and Slovenia. As we're now learning, these countries were working on a deal for years, which each nation gave up something or someone to get something in return. On one side, you had the U.S., and they wanted a Wall Street Journal reporter held captive in Russia, plus a former U.S. Marine and two Russian descendants. Meanwhile, Germans wanted some of their citizens who also were rotting in Russian prisons. On the other side, the Russians wanted some of their spies and saboteurs who were sitting in German and Slovenian prisons. And also, various countries involved started meeting over 2 years and lots of secret meetings, side deals, intense diplomacy, and just a few weeks ago, all these nations agreed and the swap began. If you have time for this weekend, read through the dirty details of those multi-year negotiations in the transcripts. Some pretty cool spy work and diplomacy went into this. So this was from portions of the transcript from the Wright Report. Awesome, awesome report if you end up wanting to hear about a lot of the news that isn't covered. But that to me seems like something that more of the mainstream news media should have been reporting about. You're not going to give a trial to one of the masterminds behind the 9/11 attacks because you don't want the information going out to the public, so the families aren't going to end up getting justice. That's pretty sad.
Well, here's another one that I think should have been reported. FBI pays $2 million to Strzok and his ex-lover for releasing the anti-Trump texts. This was this last week. The FBI will pay disgraced former FBI official Peter Strzok and his former lover Lisa Page millions in a settlement over release of their anti-Trump text messages. Strzok will get $1.2 million and Page will get $800,000 after the Bureau released email exchanges that exposed the anti-Trump bias during the 2016 presidential campaign. Such bias ultimately ignited the now-defunct Russian collusion hoax probe. Strzok opened the investigation into the allegations of Russian collusion. The corrupt investigation was called Crossfire Hurricane and was initiated without interviewing those who provided the initial information or assessing internal FBI intelligence. So the point being here is that you get rewarded by the DOJ, you know, department and this whole thing. And, you know, this was initiated back on the 216, but the headline is, this is from Kyle Chaney on X. Former FBI agent Peter Strzok's attorney says he will be getting $1.2 million from a settlement with the DOJ over release of his private text messages. So the fact that they released his private text messages that shown what was going on, he gets a settlement for? I mean, talk about rewarding the people that need to go to jail. These guys should have gone to jail for what they did. So, but it just it goes to the administration that you're in. As long as you want to keep these guys in power, well that's what you're going to get is dishonesty and rewarding their cronies for doing the wrong thing. So,
well, in general, you just see the mistrust of the people is warranted at every opportunity.
Sure.
You don't give justice to the families that deserve justice.
Right.
You're not willing to address any of the conversations that are the hard conversations that people want to have.
And then they wonder why Trump is ahead in the polls on just about everything, because the only guy that's been up there that's been halfway honest about anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing. I'm actually stunned that they even fired the director for the Secret Service. And that was only after basically everybody in the entire country was like, no, she needs to go.
Well,
she needs to be gone.
I think the next one is this Ron Rowe is going to be on the chopping block, too, because he's the one that really needs to go. And he's the one that ordered a lot of the resources being pulled off or not given to the Trump campaign. And so there's a reckoning coming there, I believe. But then what are they going to do, get a settlement later on for wrongful discharge or something? I mean, it's just unbelievable. You got to clean house. You got to fire everybody in sight. And I think that's part of what the fear is from the Dems.
Well, that's part of it. And we've been long pointing to the fact that things are not going to get better right now. And what we're seeing right now as of 2 days ago, this is from Breitbart, surging unemployment and recession risks amid September rate cut. So it looks like the market is finally going to have what it's wanted for over a year, a rate cut from the Federal Reserve. The July jobs report released on Friday showed that the labor market was on a way to a much weaker footing than previously had thought. Economists had forecast a cooling for demand for workers and bring monthly payroll growth down to 180,000 instead of the economy added just 114,000 jobs.
Well, they're trying to do anything they can to keep this economy up before the election because if the economy, gets worse or gets, noticeably worse where it can't be denied because they're already cutting rates. I mean, they're just not doing it openly at the Fed prime rate. I mean, the fact is that you've been seeing rates come down and more money flooding into the market and they've been buying more treasuries as it is, but.
Well, and here's the problem. The reason why they ended up raising the rates in the first place is because we had dramatic instances of inflation. So by lowering the rates once again, you're going to end up seeing dramatic rates of inflation start happening
again. That's what I'm hearing, too, is that these things come in waves usually, and I think we're in for a big, huge wave, so batten down the hatches. So I do want to get into this report. I guess we got to go to break. It's 11:30. Yeah.
You are listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We're going to take a quick mandatory break real quick and then come right back after.
That man in the mirror staring back at me ain't the man I used to see. I've been walking the line a long time, need a change. Breaking my back, working double shift. The weight of the world's getting hard to lift. I'm starting to think I need to break a link in this chain. Something's got to give. This ain't no way to live. Put me on a highway, the interstate, a dirt road to any place. Long as I'm long gone, chasing down the
Reading, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Reading on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
I'm Glenn Hayward, Executive Director of the Redding Rancheria Tribal Health System. I want to invite you to the 25th Annual Redding Rancheria Discovery Health Fair, August 7th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy this exciting day filled with free health screenings, information, craft vendors, kids' activities, and so much more. All ages are welcome to this free event, and it's open to the public. Brought to you by the Redding Rancheria Tribal Health System, Redding Rancheria, and Wind River Resort and Casino. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Thank you.
stuck in the days. I'm so amazed. Psychological or up in your mind. But I'm Neo and I'm ducking them strays. They lecturing all of us on climate change. Then they go jump in they plane. I don't trust no one but God nowadays. So you know I'm keeping mine tucked away. Surrounded by clowns. Feel like I'm drowning. Open my mouth. Don't make a sound. All of these people would rather be slaves than actually think for themselves for a change. Ain't no more keeping the peace. So I gotta keep me a peace. When I'm in the streets, the people asleep. Brainwashed by TV. Putting their trust in Washington, D.C.
When you're stuck on your ground, you cannot hear a sound. All the world is the coldest place. In the midst of the lies that they pull over our eyes, you don't knock, don't sit down and wait.
Sovereign Minds, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Yours from KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Have a little bit of a voice problem today. I'll try to speak as loud as I can, but I'll be over this in a day or so. I do want to bring up the fact that I've got an article here. IRS audit report reveals that IRS employees owe $50 million in back taxes. Is there a double standard here? This came out with a Treasury Inspector General's report, and it shows in the report that 95% of IRS and IRS contractor employees were tax compliant. But what that tells you is that 5% weren't. And so out of a number of employees of 85,000 IRS employees, 82,000 of them were compliant, 96%. And out of contract employees, 25,000, 23,000 were compliant, only 90%. So averaged out to a 95% total. I'm not sure how that works because it seems like those numbers are off. I'd have to do the math. But, yeah, so it's a double standard with these guys. And I'm not even saying that they should be compliant. I think that we should just scrap the whole income tax system to begin with and throw the tea in the harbor myself. But,
Needs to happen. I mean, a lot of people don't understand. We had roads. We had everything we needed prior to when we were taxed like crazy, and now we're at a place to where if I take money that doesn't exist and make you pay money that is owed that doesn't exist, you're not going to come up with money that doesn't exist. So we're constantly getting more and more in debt, and we're always going to. There's no way out of this unless you basically just scrap the whole system and say we need to stop paying a private institution a fee to be able to use money that doesn't exist.
I agree. I agree. Here's another article having to do with taxes that I want to bring up. Shocking new tax law. Water tax based on every inch of your square inch of your property. So that you own. This is from John Williams. I'm going to go ahead and play the first part of this clip for a minute or two. And I want you to hear this because this is pretty interesting stuff about what they're doing.
Here's up, guys. John here. In 2022, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Salesforce, and Goldman Sachs, they invested heavily, $100 million, into something called Block Power. Block Power has a goal to decarbonize all homes in America.
A startup called Block Power, whose goal is to ultimately electrify every building in America.
Bezos then added an additional $5 million through the Bezos Earth Fund, right here, to digitally map out 125 million buildings, essentially the entire country, so that everyone could get a free plan on how they can become environmentally sustainable. Now, when I read that, I always thought, that sounds, he's doing something for everybody for free. There might be something there that we should all look into. You know, and then says the company is now negotiating with several cities in California, New York, Massachusetts, and Georgia to do this, essentially allowing them to have a monopoly because they supply the solution to the problems in which they say these cities have. And so when you look at the direction that this was happening in 2022, you're like, let's follow this story. Well, now they're working on something called a rain tax.
A bill aimed at managing New Jersey's stormwater runoff is being dubbed a rain tax by some.
Giving local counties and municipalities the power to collect a tax from properties with large paved surfaces.
It's already law in Los Angeles. They're working on it right now in Portland, right here. Rain tax, Portland floating homeowners speak out over the proposed stormwater rates, so that every square inch of property you own, you would be taxed based on the amount of rain that hits it. This is not a joke. And same thing is happening in Philadelphia, right? 2 weeks ago, they're calling it a rain tax. Then you look at what they're saying here in Toronto. When you look at everything that's happening, you're going to see one thing very, very clearly. that we are in the greatest real estate rug pull in history. 40% of all single-family homes in America were purchased between 2021 and 2022, at the height of the market. And so what happened during that period? Cost to borrow capital is very, very low, right? Insurance, taxes, relatively low compared to where they are now. Incomes, much higher. People had a lot more money. And now that money is kind of fading away with record high inflation, record high borrowing costs. You know, people are in a harder spot today than they've been in a very, very, very long time. And so as they start to pull the rug from the real estate market, then they start to implement further taxes, further costs, insurance and taxes. Everything's going up. What's going to happen? Well, people are going to walk into hardship. People are going to start walking away from their properties. Well, in this video, I'm going to show you how this all ties together. The Inflation Reduction Act, what's happening. I mean, it is absolutely shocking. If you're a renter, if you're a property owner, if you're an investor, pay very close attention to this because it's going to rewrite American real estate history. Please hit the like button. Hit the like button. YouTube will share this content.
So I think that was noteworthy. And if you want to see the rest of that article, you can go to John Williams. It's on YouTube, I believe, the shocking new water tax based on every square inch of your property. Shocking new law. So if you want to see the rest of that, and or you can go to Need to Know News and look it up there as well. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think that the things are getting better. I think things are getting worse, and hopefully they'll get better down the road. But we keep implementing these policies, and it's just going to get the economy is the economy's in free fall right now, whether anybody wants to admit it or not. And you know, putting more restriction from the government on every aspect, and then you know, just printing money out of thin air. I'll tell you what, it's a recipe for disaster, and I think disaster is going to hit here pretty quick.
Well, and this is across the board. So I'm not sure. Did you see over this last week there was a leaked email from a Secret Service countersniper that ended up sending an email on Monday to the entire uniformed division, not agents, saying he will not stop speaking until level 5 high-level supervisors down are either fired or removed from their current positions. So I've got the email pulled up here. Thank you for your backing and support. I'm not stepping down until level 5 supervisors, one down, are either fired or removed from their current positions. This agency needs to change. If not now, when? The next assassination attempt in 30 days? Because we should all expect another attempt to happen before November. We've exposed our inability to protect our leaders due to our leadership, and the technicians who worked on 7/13/24 in Butler, PA, did their jobs with their hands tied. Secret Service supervisors knew better, and their foot soldiers working made the best of a bad situation that resulted in a civilian death and near miss of a protectee and our technician shooting and killing the suspect. I know many look at the CS team as guys who sit on the roof and don't do much, but our responsibility and our mission is not to protect an empty White House located at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's about protecting and stopping another JFK-style assassination in whatever city that may be. Sadly, we have fallen short in years. For years, we have just gotten lucky and looked good doing it. I have conveyed these thoughts to not only our supervisors, to include the current captain within the CS, but those responsible for training us, SOTS and CS, only to be brushed off as those with less experience somehow knew more than me. The team I was once proud to be part of is something I have to now somewhat hide as I move on to my next career. Who wants to hire a USSS-CS guy who failed? That's the public perception I'm now faced with. The USSS-CS team is a stain that I will never be able to cleanse. Some of us take our job and responsibility seriously, deadly serious. I may be overzealous, but after 7 years in the Marine Corps as an NCO and 20-plus years on the USSS counter-sniper team, failure is not an option. And on 7/13/24, we failed, not because of the commitment or sense of dedication, but because our supervisors, a.k.a. leadership, knew better and thought our concerns were less important. The motto of the USSS, CYA, and every supervisor is doing it right now. So that seems like a pretty serious condemnation of the people currently in the lead of the Secret Service and, quite frankly, of the lead of the governorship of a lot of the three-letter agencies, if I myself will pitch that portion in.
Yeah, I think Bongina's been covering this ad nauseum, and that's going to be more and more. And so I'm interested to see what happens on Monday, tomorrow as well. I do want to circle back, for lack of a better way to say it, to the tax stuff, because I did one more report I wanted to get on here. Excuse me. This is from the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and the title of the report is A Long Wait, The Wrong Number, and Disconnected. So this is talking about what you can expect from calling the IRS on the telephone and trying to get some kind of resolution to some kind of a tax problem, you know. It, so they tested it and they got the same results, you know. They called their phone line 75 times or something, and they got the same results on all of it. How many times did an employee answer? Only twice. We got a voicemail prompting for the rest of their calls. But sometimes we couldn't leave one because the mailbox was either full or the number wasn't in service. So this is what we're dealing with on a daily basis with trying to get issues resolved with the IRS, is that either can't get through, you get put on hold, nobody calls you up, you get hung up on, nobody picks up, I mean, and you get hung up on, and then their boxes are full, so they just say, hey, call back later. And so this whole thing is going to seize up, in my opinion, at some point, because how can we comply when complying becomes an impossibility? So we'll see how that goes, and we'll keep you posted on it. But I'm not too optimistic about it at this point.
Well, and that's what makes it hard. So you've got the Nicolas Maduro thing that's going on over in Venezuela right now, and everybody is pointing out how the vote is going along, and then all of a sudden it jumps up to the giant F, and everybody's basically making the correlation. Why can you guys see this so clearly on that, but when it came time for the 2020 election and you see the exact same lines there, all of a sudden that's not something we're going to talk about. But now when it's Nicolas Maduro and it's clearly a regime that's killing people in the streets, It's somehow different when you look at that. And he's been promising that, oh, we're going to have an internal audit and we're going to end up looking at these things, and then doesn't end up doing anything with it. But you've also got a hacker group, which is anonymously Venezuela's, breaks into Maduro's Communist Party database and posts photos of the regime thugs responsible for the latest street killings. So what they've done is they've literally gotten the photos of all of these individuals, and they've ended up putting them out. They broke into the communist tyrant Nicolas Maduro's database in Venezuela on Friday. The group posted names, surnames, and addresses of the DGCIM officials. These are members of the military intelligence division that appear to be responsible for going out and murdering people in the streets. What's also interesting about this is that this probably is going to end up driving up oil prices, because even though they don't have refining capabilities, one of the biggest exports of Venezuela is actually going to be oil. And so a lot of places will end up getting that and bringing it out. But that's neither here nor there. It's just sad to see what's going on across the world, across the way right now.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'll look for some lighter news. Not sure. My garden's doing well.
Well, that's the hard thing. I mean, we could talk about a little of this controversy with the Olympics this last week and the boxer. So
I guess we're ahead on the gold medal chart, from what I understand. I don't know how many. I should probably Google that or scroogle that or brave it or something. But put who's ahead on who's ahead in the medal department on the at the Olympics. Who's ahead in medals at the Olympics? See what comes up.
So the Olympic triathlon training was canceled due to E. coli in the Seine River. And the triathlon training season has been canceled for the second day in a row due to pollution levels in the Seine River. France has spent $1.5 billion treating the river in preparation for the 2024 Olympic Games. Swimming in the river has been banned for more than 100 years despite the canceled practices. Organizers are still saying the marathon and triathlon medal events will be held in the river later this week. Paris was hit by heavy rain during the opening ceremony on July 26th and July 28th. Triathlon swimming practice was canceled due to the harmful levels of E. coli bacteria caused by sewage, per the Times. If the river contamination levels remain unsafe, greater than 1,000 CFU, the triathlon will be turned into duathlon, with So the swimming leg of the race removed. Marathon swimming will be relocated. Officials testing by the parish shows E. coli levels at Alexandria 3 Bridge have above acceptable levels on the majority of the days. Now, shortly after this, there was a portion that they did end up doing it. And what you ended up seeing is there was a lot of the athletes that were seen throwing up after the actual swimming portion of the race, as many as 10 times. So between that fiasco, between the XY chromosome person that was boxing women and causing the Italian girl to drop out immediately, it's been quite the show, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm not sure that was positive.
I was going to rely on you for some of the positive information.
Well, we are ahead in the medal count. We're 23 gold, 15 silver, 12 bronze, and that puts us, as I said, 50 in the total medal. China's actually ahead in the gold medal. They got 25 gold medals, two ahead of us. So they're at 46 medals, and then Japan is in third with 29 medals, South Korea 19, and then Australia with 18. So it's as far as the actual games themselves, other, you know, the boxing fiasco kind of stands out. But, you know, I guess I saw a clip where, you know, they were Mike Tyson was thinking about going to the Olympic Games, and he was going to try out for the championship against the title holder, but I don't think they're going to let him in.
Well, that's the hard thing on this, is because you've got the politically correct people inside of Paris right now that are all about this whole situation, and from my understanding of it, is the person in question here had XXY chromosomes. So they had both the female and the male chromosomes, but based upon that, you also had the testosterone that was the problem. I mean, obviously, we have bans on testosterone because it ends up bulking the person up. And when you look at the individual, they've obviously had quite a bit more testosterone than the other person, so it's not a fair fight at all. And in a case like that, it would be like, all right, if you're on testosterone levels and testosterone levels throughout your life, it seems like it would be only fair to put you on the team that is the testosterone.
Well, this
team.
Whole woke thing is complete dumb crap, you know. I mean, it's kind of like this, you know. Have you noticed, like, when you say that you're a DEI hire, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, they get, you know, like Kamala Harris is a DEI hire. Oh, they get all incensed, like, oh, wow, yeah, DEI hire, wow, that's you know, how could you say that? But then, you know, they're always, why would they get mad about something that they're promoting and they're saying is good? You know, I mean, because then that shows that there's no merit. Is that the reason that they're mad? Because the DEI obviously has no merit to get there. It's just all about their race or gender or something.
Well, and this is the problem where you try to artificially inflate numbers of particular races anywhere across the board. It actually lowers the accomplishments of the people that actually deserve to be there, because there's plenty of people that are of any races that are a lot smarter than me, especially in the Asian community. You look at the historically what's taken place anytime throughout these colleges that will literally say, oh, we have too many of those people, so we're going to make it more difficult for them to get in, and we have too few of these people, so we're going to make it easier for them to get in. It takes all of the people that are at the normal places to her, like, there was a case to where you had a young Asian guy that was growing up in the Bronx, and he was basically having to study in his bathtub at night because the drive-by shootings. It was that was the conditions. But because he was in those conditions and because he was Asian, he didn't do quite as well as some of the other Asians and didn't end up getting accepted, despite the fact he was above average for the overall, but wasn't above average as far as the Asian community. Now, those are cases to where you're artificially taking somebody that should have had a shot and eliminating them from the pool based upon your preconceived notions of racism. It's sad.
Here, I'm going to play this real short clip. This comes from Lori out there. I think this should be fun and maybe lighten up the mood here a little bit.
I used to believe everything I'd see on the news, but that's before I discovered a brain.
A brain is meant for everyday use. Those living with moderate to severe stupidity have seen immediate improvement in common sense with a brain.
I thought the government had my best interests at heart, and then a friend told me about a brain.
Talk to your doctor about what news sources you obey.
A brain may also lower your desire to take life-altering advice from celebrities.
Getting lectured about my carbon footprint from people with 3 private jets used to make sense. But thanks to a brain, now I can think for myself every day. When my disregard for third grade biology began to flare up, I knew it was time for a brain.
Do not try a brain if you're allergic to a brain. Common side effects may include accountability, discernment, homeschooling your kids, a better understanding of economics, awareness of the stupidity of socialism, and diarrhea.
For tethering yourself to reality, the only no-brainer is choosing a brain. Ask your doctor if a brain is right for you.
For more information, visit tryabrain.com.
That's pretty appropriate, don't you think?
I think so. There's a few people that don't have a brain. That this is from today. Mike Benz, U.S. Defense Department, is paying billions to major ad agencies who censor and ban ads to independent news sites like the Gateway Pundit. The former State Department official, Mike Benz, the founder of the Foundation of Freedom Online, joined Dave Bratt Saturday on The War Room to discuss the government censorship complex. During their discussion, Benz revealed that the U.S. Department of Defense is paying billions in taxpayer funds to major agencies who isolate, censor, smear, and ban ads to independent media outlets like the Gateway Pundit. The Gateway Pundit continues to fight against the government censorship complex as a major plaintiff in an ongoing McCarthy versus Missouri lawsuit that recently was kicked back to appellate courts. As many of our readers already know, the Gateway Pundit is one of the most censored, smeared, blacklisted websites in America today. Despite this, our numbers continue to grow each year thanks to our amazing readers, brilliant staff, and underlying devotion for the truth. So, that's an interesting article from the standpoint of, once again, how is that even legal? You've got our tax dollars that are now paying to censorship on particular sides of the aisle. That seems like election interference. That seems like a waste of taxpayer dollars. And that seems like a First Amendment violation on its face.
Well, thank God for the Gateway Pundit and a bunch of these other organizations, you know, Need to Know News, the Conservative Treehouse, there's quite a few of them out there if you look around. And so if it hadn't been for a lot of those organizations that actually print the stories that the other ones are censoring, it's just like what I just posted on Facebook. I mean, talk about complete blatant censorship. Trying to say that a cartoon showing a guy sticking a fork into an electric socket that has socialism on the fork, saying that, you know, this always ends badly, but well, it'll be different this time because, you know, we're doing it right. They posted that and got rid of it because they said it was inflicting self-injury.
Eating disorder.
And an eating disorder.
Well, and so here's one of the examples. So, for example, NewsGuard created a blacklist around 650 websites that had questioned COVID orthodoxy and talked about the man-made lab leak COVID origins thesis. And then using its relationship with big four advertisers like Publix, their four main advertising agencies then got to kill billions of dollars in revenue to alternative news sources, and again exploiting the relationship between the censorship gargoyles who rate the news and the advertising agencies who distribute corporate advertising funds to the websites and places like Google Ads. There's one in particular known as GARM, G-A-R-M, which is the syndicate out of the World Economic Forum, which oversees $2.6 billion every year in pandemic ad spend, and these rating agencies are all part of it. Now part of my foundation, Freedom for Online Freedom, Foundation for Freedom Online, just did a survey of all their federal contracts. Frankly, what we found is totally shocking. All four of the major ad agencies, again, including Publix, and you'll see this in the FFO report on our website, all four of them receive billions of dollars, billions with a B, every year in federal government contracts. One of them gets $4 billion a year. Another one gets 1.8. Another one gets 1.1. Now, a lot of this comes from the Pentagon, and it's basically the same strategy that they use to spread ESG. They are agencies that are now killing the ability to operate an independent website by selectively discriminating against anyone who disagrees with the U.S. State Department or disagrees with the U.S. war machine or who disagrees with Big Pharma. and now they can't operate a website effectively while the entire playing field of the media is rigged in favor of the government's preferred outlets.
Well, that see, they can't have any opposing views in a communist socialist society. You know, you can't choose any alternatives if you don't know what they are, and that's kind of what they want to do is eliminate all the alternatives. It's like gaslighting. You have to isolate the victim from any other information so that they can't see what's going on, you know. And it's just like I'm looking at this Facebook thing. So they say that they've blocked my account here, but it says help is available. And I can get emotional support, okay? So on emotional support, it says I can reach out to a friend, message someone you trust, or you can contact a helpline for support. And so see suggestions from professionals outside of Meta.
Wow.
Are you freaking kidding me? Like, I need the help. I need some support for posting a cartoon about socialism being a problem. And in the context of, you're seeing this because we removed one of your photos that related to suicide, self-injury, or an eating disorder.
It's unbelievable. This ramps up.
Like,
every
you're supposed
time.
To. Does anybody buy that crap? No, they're just blatant censorship.
It's a way to censor. I mean, right now I've got a warning on TikTok, and this.
I guess
this
I'll be moving to X more.
Well, you need to move to X. You need to move to Wimkin. You need to move to Rumble, which we're streaming on right
well,
now.
Well, we're doing more and more of that, you know. But the battle has been historically in Facebook and those pages to inform people. But yeah, the battlefield is definitely migrating to other platforms. So I guess we have to go. It's
the end of the show,
yeah,
folks.
It's the end of the show. So we'll see you all next week. And remember, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Don't co-pair it with the government. All gun control is racist. And we'll see you all next week.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.